So now, little man. So now, little man, you've grown tired of grass, LSD, acid, cocaine, and hash, and someone pretending to be a true friend said, I'll introduce you to Miss Heroin. Well, honey, before you start fooling with me, just let me inform you of how it will be. For I will seduce you and make you my slave. I've sent men much stronger than you to their graves. You think you could never become a disgrace and end up addicted to poppy seed waste? So you'll start inhaling me one afternoon. You'll take me into your arms very soon. And once I have entered deep down in your veins, the craving will nearly drive you insane. You'll need lots of money, as you have been told. For darling, I'm much more expensive than gold. You'll swindle your mother, and just for a buck, you'll turn into something vile and corrupt. You'll mug and you'll steal for my narcotic charm, and feel contentment when I'm in your arms. The day when you realize the monster you've grown, you'll solemnly promise to leave me alone. If you think that you've got the mystical knack, then sweetie, just try getting me off your back. The vomit, the cramps, your gut tatted a knot, the jangling nerves screaming for just one more shot. The hot chills, the cold sweat, the withdrawal pains can only be saved by my little white grains. There's no other way, and there's no need to look, for deep down inside, you will know you are hooked. You'll desperately run to the pusher, and then you'll welcome me back to your arms once again. And when you return, just as I foretold, I know that you'll give me your body and soul. You'll give up your morals, your conscience, your heart, and you will be mine until death do us part. So now, little man.
I am Jack B. Renoir, Captain, Narcotics Division, Houston Police Department. As a law enforcement officer over the past 25 years, I've seen him work with thousands of underworld characters, a great percentage of which are junkies. Jolie Kirkpatrick was one of them. Through the years, I've watched helplessly as Joe's life went down the drain. He refused to heed the voice of experience. I was his friend, but he didn't accept it. In 1964, we had the goods on Joe, about to send him up for his second prison term. But something happened, as you will hear. A change took place in Joe's life. This change has proven true over the past 9 years. My letter of recommendation to the governor of the state of Texas in behalf of Joe Lee Kirkpatrick, ex-junkie, is a first. I hold this man in the highest regard and admiration, and pray there will be many more to follow his example. Joe Lee can and does tell it like it is.
I, too, wrote a letter to the governor on behalf of Joe Lee Kirkpatrick. I am Ralph Neighbor, pastor of the West Memorial Baptist Church in Houston, where Joe Lee and his family hold membership. If you visited in our area, We might drive together through a sea of apartment houses and better than average homes. And I'd just like to bear witness that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ transforms middle-class and well-to-do people just as readily as it can transform a dope addict. And so the message that Joe Lee speaks next is for all. Would you let me be more specific? The message he speaks is for you.
Well, when I was 28 years old, my life was already washed out, and as I said, I'd tried everything the world had to offer for the cure of dope addiction. Nobody has the answer. And here they were telling me that Jesus Christ could change my life, that he could give me a brand new heart. Well, I didn't know what they were talking about, but it sure sounded good to an old washed-out dope fiend. I looked at what I had on one hand. Well, the cigarettes didn't satisfy, the booze didn't satisfy, the sex thrills didn't satisfy, the Cadillac cars that I drove didn't satisfy, and on and on and on. Oh, I had plenty of money. I wasn't a washed-out gutter bum. I was just washed out on the inside. I could still function in society. I still made my way. But there was such an emptiness in my heart. And really, I'd rather been dead than continue like I was. I just couldn't find the answer. And here they were telling me that the answer was in God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Not only were they showing me this from the Bible and telling me all about it, but I began to notice that these Christians really had something in their lives. They had something real. I knew one thing, they had something I didn't have. Well, I got to watching Jerry Wayne Bernard. He was one of the co-directors with Freddie. Oh, Jerry would sing, and he would preach, and he would teach, and I just kept watching him, and I thought, man, if I could only have what Jerry's got, I'd give anything. Well, 3 days later, I found out I could have exactly what Jerry Bernard had, but I had to be willing to give everything. Well, at this rehabilitation center, they had guest speakers come every day. Usually it was a different preacher. Sometimes they'd come at 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 7:30 at night, and then they'd go out on the streets and pass out gospel literature. Well, this particular morning, a young evangelist, James Robison, came, and as he stood before us, boy, I'll never forget the authority by which he spoke. He just simply got up there and told what the other Christians had been saying, that Christ died for sinners. Jesus came to set the captives free. I thought, man, you see, I used to be proud of my sin. I thought I was a smart aleck, big, tough guy. But now I wasn't proud of my sin anymore. It made me sick what I'd become. And really, it all started so innocently, just as a boy. I just wanted to go along and have a few kicks. I wasn't going to get hooked. I didn't intend to become a dope fiend. I didn't intend for my life to be in prison and washed out and wanting to commit suicide when I was 28 years old. Well, I'd already died twice from overdoses, and the people had breathed life back into me. I was already purple. I'd been out for 3 hours. My body was just dead, and they breathed into my mouth, and I came back too. And they always told me that I was out for 3 hours and that I was dead, and I'd say, oh, you just a bunch of liars. I just dozed off for a minute. But finally, they would convince me, and I'd say within myself, man, why didn't I just go on die? I was sick of living that kind of life. And yet, when I was a kid, it was glamorous. I wanted that kind of thing, but it didn't satisfy. And when I found out that it didn't satisfy, I was already hooked and couldn't do anything about it. And here James was standing up there. You see, I knew one scripture in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But I always thought, yeah, for God so loved the world, but who am I in this big old world? No one really cares anything about me. It's just dog eat dog. And you know as well as I do, the American philosophy is becoming, if it's not already, anything goes as long as you don't get caught. Well, this is the way I geared my life, and it brought me nothing but emptiness, loneliness, and shame.